Welcome to another Aurora Generator podcast.
Great to be digging into another topic.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into something a lot of you have asked about, fuel additives, especially for diesel equipment like your generators.
Yeah, it's a topic with a lot of claims floating around, isn't it?
Yeah.
And some confusion. Our goal here is to, you know, sift through the source material we've got.
Exactly. We'll look at what these additives supposedly do, what big names like Perkins say about them.
We've got some info on that.
Some real-world testing examples from the sources, and importantly, we'll touch on seafoam based strictly on the information available.
And figure out if these additives are something you should actually consider for your diesel generator. Again, according to what these sources say.
It's a fair bit to unpack, so let's get started. How do these things work? Are they worth the hype?
Let's jump in.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. What exactly are diesel fuel additives? And, you know, why bother? Isn't fuel just fuel?
Well, not quite. Think of diesel fuel as a pretty complex blend of hydrocarbons. The sources point out that over time, or like, depending on storage conditions, it can degrade.
Degrade how?
It can cause issues in your engine's fuel system. Mm-hmm. Things break down.
Yeah.
And that's where additives are supposed to come in.
Right. To fix problems or prevent them.
Exactly. The sources say they're designed to combat specific problems or sometimes maybe even enhance performance. A really big enemy they mention is water.
Mm-hmm.
Water in the fuel.
Water seems bad. Rust.
Rust, yeah. But maybe even worse, it lets things grow. Yeah. Little microbes.
Living stuff in my fuel.
Uh-huh. Bacteria, fungi, algae. Sounds kind of gross, right?
Yeah.
But they can multiply pretty fast and seriously clog up your fuel filters. That kills engine performance.
Okay, that sounds like a real problem.
It is. So there are additives called biocides, specifically designed to, well, kill those microbes.
Keep the critters out. Got it. What else? You mentioned fuel degrading.
Right, fuel stability. The sources talk about oxidation, kind of like rust, but for the fuel itself. It forms gums, sediments, nasty stuff.
More gunk.
Yep. So additives like antioxidants and metal deactivators are meant to stop that, keep the fuel stable. And about that water problem again, the sources seem to prefer additives called demulsifiers.
Demulsifiers?
Yeah.
Different from just mixing the water in.
Totally different. Instead of trying to blend the water, which can still cause issues, demulsifiers help the tiny water droplets clump together. They get heavier, separate from the fuel, and sink.
Ah, so you can drain the water off easily from the bottom?
Exactly. Much cleaner way to deal with it, according to these sources. Better for the engine.
Makes sense. Get the water out, keep the gunk from forming. What about protecting the engine itself? Injectors and things.
That's a huge one. Fuel injectors are super precise. They can get clogged up with carbon deposits. That messes up the fuel spray pattern.
Which means less power, worse economy.
You got it. Poor performance. So there are detergent additives specifically designed to clean those injectors, keep the fuel flowing right.
Okay, and I hear a lot about lubricity, especially now with ULSD, ultra-low sulfur diesel.
Absolutely vital. That ultra-low sulfur stuff, which is pretty much standard now, it's cleaner for the air, but it can have naturally lower lubricity, less slipperiness.
And that's bad for?
Fuel pumps,
yeah.
Injectors. The moving parts need that lubrication to avoid wearing out prematurely. So lubricity enhancers are added to put that protection back.
How do they even know if it's slippery enough?
The sources mention a test method, the HFRR test. Basically, they rub metal parts together in the fuel and measure the wear scar. They want that scar to be really small, less than 460 micrometers, like thinner than a few hairs. That tells them it's providing enough protection.
Wow, okay. That's specific. And what about cold weather? Does it help stop fuel gelling?
Yeah, cold flow improvers.
Yeah.
Sources explain that wax crystals form in cold diesel, right? They can block filters. These additives don't stop the wax forming, but they change the shape of the crystals.
So they can squeeze through the filter.
Pretty much. Though the sources do note they might not work as well in biodiesel blends. Something to keep in mind.
And beyond just protecting things, are there claims about actually boosting performance, like more power or better mileage?
Yes, that comes up too. Some additives claim they improve fuel economy, maybe acceleration, power, torque, by making the fuel burn faster or hotter, perhaps more completely.
More bang for your buck, potentially.
That's the idea. And some sources even suggest this could lead to cleaner exhaust emissions, maybe helping engines meet those EPA requirements.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. What do the people who actually build the engines say? We've got some info here from Perkins. They make a ton of diesel engines, including for generators.
Yeah, manufacturer perspectives are always crucial. And Perkins definitely has things to say about fuel additives in the documentation we looked at.
Are they for them? Against them. Cautious.
They certainly acknowledge they have a role. In fact, they even mention their own product, a Perkins diesel fuel system cleaner.
Oh, interesting. So they sell their own additive.
Seems so. They state it's effective for cleaning and preventing deposits. And importantly, they say you can use it as needed, or even all the time, without negatively impacting the engine or fuel system durability. And it's compatible with ULSD.
So the fact they offer one suggests they see some value in additives, at least for cleaning.
It definitely points that way, yeah. They also suggest talking to your fuel supplier or, you know, other reputable providers if you need other types of conditioners to improve certain fuel properties. So they recognize other additives might be needed sometimes.
And the warranty angle, that seems like a big deal for anyone with expensive equipment.
Huge deal. The Perkins documentation is crystal clear here. Failures caused by using fuel that doesn't meet their specifications, that's not covered by the Perkins warranty.
Whoa. So the onus is on you, the operator.
Absolutely. You have to use the right fuel. And depending on what fuel you get, that might mean you need certain additives just to bring it up to the required spec. Or, conversely, you need to avoid fuels or additives that can mess things up and void your warranty.
They also mention a difference between fuel and oil additives.
Yes. Super important point. They specifically say they do not recommend using aftermarket additives in the engine oil. They state they aren't necessary for performance or engine life.
So don't just dump anything anywhere. Fuel additives for fuel. Oil additives.
Yeah.
Well, Perkins says don't bother with aftermarket ones for oil.
Precisely. Yeah. Keep them separate. And one more thing from Perkins. Using fuel that doesn't meet spec or using high biodiesel blends like over B20, they flag that as severe service.
Meaning you might need to do maintenance more often?
Yeah, potentially more frequent maintenance, or maybe using higher spec fluids than usual.
Okay, Perkins has a view. But what about the wider industry? Is there a consensus? You mentioned something called top-tier diesel.
Right, top-tier diesel. It's interesting because it's not just one company. It's an industry standard backed by several OEMs, engine manufacturers, and it sets specific requirements for the diesel fuel itself.
And do additives play a part in that standard?
Oh, absolutely. Additives are a required part of meeting the top-tier standard for certain properties.
But not just any additive off the shelf, right?
No. They have to meet regulatory requirements first, like EPA registration in the U.S. And then, crucially, they need to pass performance tests.
Performance tests? Like what?
Real engine tests. The sources mention specific ones, like the DW10B test, which looks at deposits on the outside of the injector nozzle. The fuel has to show minimal power loss. And another, the DW10OC, checks for internal injector deposits. It needs a high cleanliness rating.
So they're actually testing if the detergent additives work in a running engine.
Exactly. It's not just marketing claims. They even have requirements for additives designed to clean up existing deposits, not just prevent new ones.
That sounds pretty rigorous. What else does top tier cover?
Lubricity, that's in there too. Same target we heard before, that HFRR wear scar needs to be below 460 microns.
Yeah.
And if the fuel's natural lubricity is low, like with some ULSD, top tier mandates a lubricity additive.
Okay. And stability, especially with biodiesel.
Yep. Stability is addressed. They require antioxidants, particularly for biodiesel, to stop it degrading. And they verify this with tests.
And contamination, like that water and microbe issue.
Big focus there too. Top tier emphasizes clean fuel delivery. They recommend good filters at the pump 10 microns or smaller and set really tight limits for water and sediment in the fuel you actually get.
So looking at top tier, it seems like the industry, or at least a significant part of it backed by manufacturers, sees specific tested additives as, well, necessary components for modern diesel fuel to perform properly and protect engines.
That's a fair summary of what the top tier standard implies, yes. It's about ensuring fuel quality through measured performance, and additives are part of that equation.
All right, we have the official lines from Perkins and the top tier standard, but what about, you know, boots on the ground, real world experiences? Let's look at some of the other perspectives in the sources.
Yeah, there was one interesting study that looked at three different additives used in a mining fleet. So heavy equipment, tough conditions.
What did they find there? Was it clear cut?
Far from it. It really showed how different these products can be. Product A, described as alcohol based, gave only a tiny fuel saving, maybe 2-3%. But
there's always a but.
Right. They stopped using it because other research suggested alcohol could actually shorten the life of some engine parts. Not a great trade-off.
Definitely not. Okay, what about product B?
Product B, described as paraffin-based.
Yeah.
Well, The study said it caused severe immediate effects. They strongly recommended not using it.
Wow, okay, so some can actually cause immediate harm. That's sobering.
It really is. Shows you need to be careful. Then there was product C.
Better news, hopefully.
A bit. It was described differently, marine seal oil-based, and it had EPA certification and a safety data sheet, MSDS.
Mm-hmm.
That documentation seemed important.
And the results.
This one did show claimed improvements in fuel use and emissions, but interestingly, only after an initial period they called a cleanup phase. And even then, the study noted some inconsistencies in the emission results they were still looking into.
So even the one that seemed to work had some quirks.
Exactly. The big takeaway from that study seems to be performance varies wildly. The specific product and what's in it matters immensely. Some can be harmful, and having proof of testing or certification and safety info is probably a good sign.
We also dipped into some online discussions, right? What's the vibe there?
Pretty much echoes the study. Lots of varied experiences. Some people report good results, often pointing to lab test videos they've seen for certain products, but everyone seems to agree effectiveness isn't universal.
Debates about how much to use, too.
Yeah, dosage comes up, standard dose versus maybe needing more. Though some experts cited in those discussions suggest the standard recommended dose should be enough if the product works.
And what about getting advice from, say, a dealership?
Some comments online mentioned that dealerships might not actively recommend aftermarket fuel additives. Maybe they prefer sticking to manufacturer stuff or just the specified fuel.
And biodiesel came up again in those discussions.
It did. People noted that common blends like B2 or B5 here in the U.S. offer some natural lubricity and cleaning.
Mm.
But there's also a warning about higher blends, like B20.
What's the warning?
Because it could be a strong cleaner.
Yeah.
If you suddenly start using B20 in an older system, it might loosen up years of built-up gunk all at once and just overwhelm your fuel filters.
Ah, so it cleans too well, too fast, potentially.
Potentially, yeah. It just reinforces the need for really good fuel filtration, no matter what fuel or additives you're using. Keep those filters clean.
Okay, let's zero in on the product many people ask about, Seafoam. And importantly, can you use it in a generator? Based only on the source material we have available, what can we actually say about Seafoam?
Right. Sticking strictly to the documents provided,
mm-hmm.
we do have the safety data sheet, the SDS, for Seafoam motor treatment.
What does that tell us? What's in it?
The SDS identifies it as a mixture. It says it's primarily a hydrocarbon blend making up less than 95%, and isopropanol, which is a type of alcohol, making up less than 25%. The description is simply fuel system treatment.
Okay, so ingredients and basic function, safety info.
Yes, the SDS lists it as flammable and hazardous. It notes potential risks if swallowed, specifically aspiration hazard, which is bad if it gets into your lungs or if inhaled. Standard safety warnings for this type of product.
Got it. Now, the crucial part, do these sources contain any performance data? Any tests showing how well Seafoam actually works for cleaning, lubricity, fuel economy, that kind of thing?
This is really important based only on the sources we reviewed. The answer is no. The documents provided do not contain performance data specifically testing Seafoam motor treatment for its effectiveness in those areas.
So based just on what we have here, we can't confirm or deny the performance claims you might see elsewhere.
Correct. We simply don't have that data within these specific sources.
Mm.
Now, remember that mining study? It mentioned a product C described as marine seal oil-based that showed some positive results.
Right, but that description, marine seal oil-based, doesn't really match the Seafoam SDS ingredients, does it?
No, it doesn't seem to match the primary components listed on the Seafoam SDS. Hydrocarbon blend and isopropanol. So we absolutely cannot connect the results of product C in that study directly to Seafoam based on the information we have. They appear to be different types of products based on those descriptions.
Okay, important clarification. Do the sources offer any other specific opinions or reviews about Seafoam itself?
Very, very little that specifically names Seafoam. The main takeaway from the broader discussion in the sources is simply that fuel additives in general are a mixed bag. Some work, some don't, some might cause issues, but that's a comment on the whole category, not a specific finding about Seafoam from these particular sources.
All right, so let's connect the dots we can connect. Seafoam is described as a fuel system treatment for fuel systems. Perkins talks about additives for their diesel engines, which are used in generators. Can we reasonably infer if this type of product is applicable to a diesel generator?
Based on that logic, yes. If a product is marketed as a fuel system, treatment intended for use in diesel engine fuel systems, and diesel generators have diesel engine fuel systems, and manufacturers like Perkins discuss additives in that context, then it seems applicable to the type of equipment.
So the concept of using a diesel fuel system treatment in a diesel generator makes sense within the context provided.
Yes, the application seems logical based on the general descriptions. However, and this is the big caveat, you absolutely must check the specific product's instructions and, even more importantly, the operator's manual for your specific generator engine.
The manufacturer always has the final say for their equipment.
Always. They might have specific recommendations or restrictions. And one more thing, the sources we looked at didn't provide any information about using these kinds of additives like seafoam and gasoline generators. Our focus here, based on the sources, has really been diesel.
Okay, let's try to wrap our heads around all this. Synthesizing everything from this deep dive, it seems clear that fuel additives can potentially offer real benefits. Cleaning, lubricity, stability.
And these aren't just wild claims. We saw industry standards like top-tier diesel actually require tested additives to meet certain performance benchmarks.
Plus, manufacturers like Perkins acknowledge their role, even offering their own cleaning products. They see maintenance of the fuel system as important.
But, and it's a big but, based on the source's effectiveness and safety vary massively. Not all additives are the same.
That mining study was a stark reminder. Some did little, one caused immediate problems.
Right. Which suggests looking for products with some kind of documentation is probably wise. Test data, if you can find it. Safety data sheets, definitely. Maybe certifications were applicable.
And for your diesel generator specifically, the idea of using fuel system treatments is relevant. Keeping that system clean and protected makes sense, just like in a truck or tractor.
But the absolute golden rule, repeated in the sources and worth repeating now, check your engine manufacturer's manual. See what they recommend or allow for your specific engine model and fuel type.
So understanding this landscape, the potential benefits, the significant variability, the importance of documentation and manufacturer guidance helps you make a more informed choice. It's not just grabbing a bottle off the shelf.
Exactly. It's about knowing what problem you might be trying to solve. Water, deposits, lubricity, and finding a credible product, ideally one with some evidence behind it, that's appropriate for your equipment.
Which really brings up a critical final thought, doesn't it? Given that huge variation in performance we saw, even potential harm, how can you, as an owner, truly verify if a specific additive you're considering is actually doing good, doing nothing, or maybe even doing harm inside your generator's engine, especially over the long term?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Verifying real-world effectiveness and safety for your specific setup is challenging.
Something to ponder. Remember, staying informed is really the best tool you have for maintaining your equipment properly. For more information on generators and maintenance tips, you can always visit auroragenerators.com.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the world of diesel fuel additives, drawing only on the source material provided. We hope this discussion helps shed some light on a complex topic.